come and we continue in this series, The Church in Focus, that we would understand as a congregation God's plan and His purpose for us, First Baptist Church, in these days. And we're trying to make it very specific to where we are today and the things that we are facing now as a congregation. And we're trying to see what God would have us to do in the days ahead. In any church, there are sure to be many different opinions as to what ought to be the most important aspect of the church's life and the church's ministry. Most folks will have some thought as to what they believe ought to be the central focus of what the church is now doing. And no doubt if we tonight were to go through the entire auditorium and ask each individual what they believe to be the highest priority for the church, we would come up with many varied points of view. I don't know that we would maybe have 2 to 3 people that would all agree to the same thing, so to speak. We may in some regards, but we all have our own varying points of view. And if we then would try to together determine how to accomplish all those varying points of view, we're going to likely find numerous suggestions of how to implement these things within our ministry. All of that goes to say is that there is much for us to consider as we look at the church ministry. And we have to ask, how do we as a church make the most of our ministries? How do we determine where the emphasis should be placed? So tonight, as part of our series, The Church in Focus, I want to begin to help us to understand how we can make the best use of the ministries that God has established here. So the title tonight is simply this: Making the Most of Our Ministry. Making the Most of Our Ministry. We want to begin to consider that tonight. There's no way with what I have before me tonight that we're going to consider all of this evening. We're actually going to consider it again next Sunday evening, because there's no way again to get through all the material that the Lord's laid upon my heart. But before we do that, let's bow and have a word of prayer, then we'll take up the topic for this evening. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you tonight that we're able to come and gather together as a church body, as members of this church, to consider our ministry at this time and this place for what you would have in store for us in the days ahead. And Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom, and you would give us understanding, that, Lord, you would give to us a spirit of unity. And Lord, I pray that we would understand that unity doesn't require that we all think alike, but that we understand that you give a vision and a plan and a purpose, and we accept that vision, plan, and purpose for the time in which it's placed before us, and walk together in a spirit of cooperation and the spirit which says that we will do our part. So, Father, we ask and pray that you would bless tonight as we consider our ministry and how we can make the most use of the ministry that you have given to us here. Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. We commit our time now in your hands, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our series so far, we have rehearsed numerous times the overarching philosophy of our ministry as we've revealed it through our motto, that we as a church will be growing in His grace, that we would be grounded in His truth, and that we would then go forth in His love. Our purpose through the study, again, is to help First Baptist Church to understand God's plans and His purposes for us today. And we want to look at this very specifically, not just in general terms of the church universal, but I want us to consider our church. What should our focus be? Where are we as a ministry heading and going, and for what reasons do we do what we do? Our church has been in existence now for over 57 years, and in the course of that time, our church has changed. We have had a change in pastors. We have had a change in people. We have had a change in programs. We have even had changes in place and location. Over those years of ministry, there have been many different changes to our church. Yet today it seems that there is maybe more than ever a fear of change. Why would we change, and why must we change? And if we are going to change, do we have to understand and agree to every aspect of every change? And although you and I may not be particularly fond of some of the things within our past, the reality is we are more comfortable with what we know than what we don't know. And what frightens and arrests us sometimes is the thought of change. Because we don't maybe understand exactly what it is we're doing and why we're doing it. And that's part of the reason for a series such as this, that we would understand the reasons behind it. If you and I are going to effectively minister within our current day to this new and ever-changing generation, then there has to be times that we will willingly and readily accept the change that comes our way. Perhaps one of the greatest things that sparks fear in our hearts concerning change is that we often do not understand the reasons behind what we do. And one of the things that I really want to be able to lay out to you over the course of this study is the reason, the mindset of ministry, and I hope that you'll be able to comprehend and see exactly why we do what we do. Folks, there is a reason for it. There is thought, and there is prayer, and there is consideration of Scripture with every decision and everything that we do. Tonight, I want to begin to help us understand that mindset behind our ministry. These are things that we have spoken of before, yet we haven't fully comprehended them. And as we begin tonight, I want to take a few moments, and I want to start by considering our present ministries. I want you to understand with me currently what ministry we are involved in and for what purpose we have those ministries and involvement. First and foremost, let me say that every ministry that's a part of this local church is of vital importance. Each of us may see some as more important than others, and some may even feel that some are not even necessary. However, the reality is each ministry is important to our ministry. And I hope and pray that you'll understand how important they are, and that we, even if we're not involved, would give our full support to each of these ministries. I trust there would never be a prevailing attitude of something that I heard quite some time ago, but it went something like this. Well, I don't even know why we have to continue to do that ministry. My kids aren't involved in it anymore, and it's really not that important to me. I hope that you understand that for each generation that comes along, we as a church ought to be seeking to minister to them. And whether or not it is affecting your family right now or not, it is affecting others. And we want to be able to understand why we do what we do. And so I want to begin tonight by simply reminding you of our ministries and then understand why we have each of those ministries and what we are involved in. So as we begin tonight, let's consider, we're going to start on Sunday and then we'll work our way to Wednesdays and throughout the week. First of all, I want you to understand the ministry of Sunday school. The ministry of Sunday school. As I consider Sunday school, I understand Sunday school to be a time set aside for the teaching and the application of biblical truth. What's exciting to me about Sunday school is that you and I can come and gather together where we come and come to classes which are designed to teach us and to apply truths of the Word of God. The classes are designed for clear communication of truth to the appropriate level of the student's understanding. That's why we have certain classes for those who are 2 and 3 years old, and others who are in the pre-kindergarten age, and those in elementary, those in our youth, and the adults. We want to give clear instruction of biblical truth at an appropriate level for every age group that is involved within our ministry. The classes are structured in such a way to be less formal. They're designed in such of a way that it allows for interaction. It allows for the asking of questions, the discussing of truths. It's so that we can, as iron sharpening iron, aid one another in spiritual growth to be able to share and to discuss and to have understanding of the concepts and the biblical truths that we find. You know, Sunday school can also be the place where our closest connections are made. It's a great opportunity for us to get to know one another, to interact with one another in a spiritual way, under spiritual topics and spiritual truths. Sunday school ought to be something that you're excited about. Sunday school ought to be one of those things that you want to make sure you're here for. It is vitally important. You say, but I don't know if I really want to get up that extra hour earlier to come, because let's face it, Sunday is a day that I get to sleep in. Well, folks, Sunday ought to be the beginning of your week. It ought to be the preparations for what is coming. So get up the extra hour earlier and come to Sunday school. Because within this ministry, we are able to teach the Word of God and apply it and make it very practical in ways that we cannot do in services such as this. But it's vitally important. It's important for our children, and it's important for our adults. Folks, if you go back and you study through your Bible, you're going to find out that Paul never had Sunday school. Timothy didn't go to Ephesus and establish Sunday schools. It is a rather modern phenomenon about the 1800s in which Sunday school began. And honestly, the reasons that we run Sunday school now and the reason Sunday school was started has changed. Sunday school used to be an evangelistic arm of the church, and it's become an edification arm of the church, and that's fine. But we ought to understand why we have Sunday school and what we're trying to accomplish. Another ministry is simply our Sunday services. And like Sunday school, the focus of each of these services is the communication of God's truth to men. Yet there is one main difference in our Sunday services from that of Sunday school and any other service that we have. Because the focus in the Sunday services, both morning and evening, is the preaching or the proclamation of the Word of God. Our services in the morning and evening are primarily dedicated to preaching. Now, we are doing some what I would call more of teaching and instruction in the evenings, but really these services are more dedicated to preaching proclamation. We don't usually take time for interaction. We don't usually have question and answers. We have other formats for that, but Sunday we typically reserve for the proclamation of the Word of God. Say, well, Pastor, why do we do that? Well, take your Bible, please, and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 17 this morning. Excuse me, chapter 1. It's verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, folks, I can't explain to you the reason behind it all, but I do understand it biblically. That God has said that He has chosen to use the proclaiming of His Word to reach the hearts and lives of men. And there is a different force in preaching than there is in teaching. As I teach, I want to communicate truth. Yes, and I want to make it very practical. But as we preach, we are proclaiming, we are exhorting, we are giving strong exhortation and encouragement for you to follow. And folks, when we say, thus saith the Lord, it really means, thus saith the Lord, now do and obey. We're not making suggestions, we're making proclamations. And God said through those proclamations, He does His work. Each of those services is designed to exalt the Savior. And in so doing, we believe that as Jesus Christ is lifted up, men will be drawn unto Him. You'll often hear me say it this way. I've started saying it. It's an old phrase that I picked up from Amy's home church. It's one that I've had in my mind for many years now, and one that I like, and that is simply this. We preach the Word of God as it is to men as they are. Folks, that's what we do. We take the truth of God's Word, and we proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." And within this audience, there are people with different needs. And we seek to meet people where they are today and allow the Spirit of God, through the power of the Word of God, to change lives. And folks, you have experienced that effect in your own heart through the preaching and the proclamation of the Word of God. And so we dedicate those services to that purpose. During those services, though, in the morning, we have junior church. Some may begin to question, well, why have services like junior church? Why not just have all the children gather in the services so they can sit under the preaching of the Word of God? Well, one, we do want to provide for them an opportunity and a place of worship. Yet I want to provide it at a level that they will be able to understand. I want to be able to give them that opportunity to worship, but at a level that they can understand, know, and comprehend the truths of God's Word, and therefore allow the whole family to benefit from the worship of the Lord. Now, folks, whether you comprehend or agree with this statement or not, the reality is young children who don't have the ability to sit through a service of about 30 minutes to 35 to 40 minutes of preaching, if they can't sit that long, they're going to ultimately become a distraction. And so what we want to do is give them that same chance to benefit from that time of worship and that time of instruction, and also free their parents so they can enjoy those same benefits, that they can really focus in on that preaching time so that they can grow in the Lord. And that's the design and that's the purpose. In our evening services, most of the young people that will be with us tend to be from members of our church. They're used to being in Sunday school. They're used to being in the services. And it's good for them to adjust into it because the evening's a little less formal and a little less full of visitors to come. And we don't want to be a distraction to the visitor. We can handle some of the distractions that might come in an evening. But the reality is we want to have the whole family benefit. And that's the same reason that we have a nursery. A nursery is designed to be a place where kids can enjoy a safe and a caring environment, and the love of Christ can be known. I like the words of Luke 18, verse 16. It says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not." Folks, I don't want to turn infants away. But again, I understand and realize that they need to have a place that they can go and be cared for so that mom and dad can be ministered to. When you consider the nursery, I think it's important that we be reminded that little ones are precious in the eyes of God, but also in the eyes of their parents. You're going to hear us talk in weeks to come about things that need to be done. We have discussed as deacons, we've mentioned it to you as a church about the needs within our nursery and the needs to possibly move it and to provide a better place for our young people to go. We do that because we want them to be in the best environment that they can be in, and we want to give parents that confidence that their children are being looked after and cared for because that child is precious to that parent. And that child is precious to the Lord and ought to be precious unto us. It's a place that parents can be confident and confidently leave their children and then be spiritually and physically refreshed through fellowship with God and with men. Folks, if you haven't had little children in your home for a while, can I remind you to go back to what it used to be like? It is tiring. In fact, it is downright exhausting to those who have little ones in the home. One of the most interesting phenomenons to me in the nursery ministry of the church is who is often the ones who serve in the nursery. You can interact on this one. Who's the one who usually serves? Mom. Now, folks, we're providing this opportunity for mom to come and mom to be refreshed and mom to grow spiritually, and moms are the ones in the nursery. Ladies, you ought to consider that as a wonderful ministry because those children are precious. I'll guarantee you, you can survive an hour. But that mom needs that hour. She needs some sanity of mind. She needs to talk to adults. She doesn't need to listen to more other people's children babble at her. She has her own to babble at her. It's a wonderful place for parents to come and be refreshed as they sit under the preaching of the Word of God, as they have the interaction and fellowship with other people. Consider prayer meeting. Every Wednesday night, we gather on in this place as adults with a purpose and the focus on two things. We focus on prayer and we focus on Bible study. We want to come and we want to gather together and we want to pray. We want to bring our burdens and our petitions unto the Lord. The Bible teaches us much about the need for prayer. We are to cast all of our care upon Him, for He cares for us. We are to call upon the Lord, and He will show us great and mighty things that we know not. We are to be interceding on the behalf of others. We are to pray for one another. Prayer is a wonderful opportunity for you and I to come to the very throne of grace, there to find mercy and help in time of need. We have a great high priest who understands the feelings of our own infirmities, and he invites us to come and come boldly. I have said it often on Wednesday nights. I'll say it again, and you'll hear me say it many times. Some of the sweetest sounds that I hear come from this church do not come from the choir, and they do not come from the special music, and they do not come from the congregational singing. It comes on Wednesday nights as the saints lift their voices in prayer. When we spread out throughout the auditorium, no matter who I'm praying with, I'm usually listening with one ear to what they're saying, and the other one is usually listening to the sounds of our church in prayer. And I think that is a sweet and wonderful sound. That we can come to the very throne of grace. And we can pray. Why do we come for prayer meeting? Well, one, we want to be able to recharge our batteries. And we want to refocus our minds. The reality is, it is a challenging thing to live as a faithful Christian in a world so overrun with sin. There's great challenge to it. You go out Monday through Friday and you begin to work and you begin to interact and mix with those who know not Christ. And you have to be afflicted with issues such as their language and their conversations and the things that they want to discuss and share with you that you wish you never knew. And you have to deal with that. You have to deal with their attitude and their actions. And it's not an easy thing to be a faithful Christian living in a world so overrun by sin. And sometimes we come to Wednesday and say, man, this has been a rough week. Come to prayer meeting. Allow your batteries to be recharged because you've been drained right out. Come and allow your mind to be refocused again on the things of God. And folks, nothing does that quite like the Word of God and prayer. So prayer meeting is designed as a place that we can help aid us through the week. Folks, all of us know what it's like. Even your pastor has worked his time within the world and knows how hard it is And I'm very thankful for what I get to do. And it's a pleasure for me to meet week after week on Wednesday nights and aid and help others in the midst of that work week. It's also an opportunity for us to share our burdens. It's a place where we can strengthen our feeble knees. It's a place where we can sharpen our swords so that we can stand as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, God wants us all to be faithful. And prayer meeting is designed not to be something to weigh us down, but something to unload our burdens and to give us wings again that we might soar as eagles. Prayer meeting, it's a wonderful opportunity to come and to fellowship in that way. Also on Wednesday night, we have our Master Clubs. Master Clubs is the midweek service for our children in our church. It's designed that they might be helped to know, love, and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I am very pleased with the program that we are now using called Master Clubs. And I'm very excited for those who give of their time week after week, and they sacrifice that time in prayer meeting to minister to the lives of our children. One of the things that is interesting to me concerning prayer meeting is that it reaches beyond our membership. It reaches beyond our membership. It helps outside of even this local body. There are other families whose churches, they have connections usually through school or other friends. And the reality is their churches provide nothing for their children. And they are bringing them here. And we are able to minister to them, and we're able to teach them, and we're able to share with them the true gospel message. And folks, through our Master Clubs ministries, children have been saved. What a wonderful blessing that they can know their God, they can love Him and serve Him. We want to be able to bring children to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the program is then designed to disciple them and to help them grow in the Lord. It also provides for them, as they go through the program, opportunity to learn how to serve within the local church and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things that they are asked to do as part of the program that really puts thought into them serving the Lord. They get that through times of teaching and times of instruction. But as they go through the program, there are other things and opportunities for them to serve and to learn what it means to serve the local body. And I think that's a wonderful opportunity for each of our children to be taught and to learn. We want them to be helpful members of the body of Christ as they mature and grow. Also, we have our youth group. We have youth group. Youth group might be perhaps one of the more misunderstood terms within our church, and one that many may seem to be a little bit unclear about is what we're doing and what is going on. We've tried to explain this in the past. I want to try to clarify it again so that we understand what is going on when we refer to the term of our youth group. When you hear that term youth group, it should really cause you to think beyond any one activity. And I want you to see the larger overarching ministry that we have to children in their impressionable teen years. Our youth group or youth ministry really is comprised of several key components. It's part of our overall philosophy as to how we operate within our youth group. As I talk with Pastor Silver, I share with him, this is the philosophy, this is where the implementation has, and he has the rights to work within that philosophy to develop the different things within it. But the reality is, the overarching philosophy gives to us three basic understandings as how we're going to minister effectively at one of the most critical times in the life of a child. By the way, I want to remind you, parents, teenagers, believe it or not, are children. And that's okay. But they're at a most critical point in their life. Because in these years, they are going to take the concretes that have been given to them and determine what they believe. And they're going to make their own convictions. And that's what they're going to stand on in the days ahead. So as we look at our youth group, we understand that there's a three-pronged approach to the development of our youth. We first of all utilize our Sunday school. And Sunday school for the youth is designed to be a time where the youth pastor can begin to systematically teach the basic truths and doctrines that they need for their adult lives. It is this time somewhat of formal training that they may be able to know and understand and be strengthened in their faith. We want them to know what they believe, and I want them to know why they believe it. In fact, one of the things that helps you understand when a child is in the process of becoming an adult is the question of why. Sometimes we look at that and we hear kids asking the question why and we get angry right away. We think it's rebellion. It's not. Why is an important question. And why is an opportunity for us to teach them again the truth and to share with them what the Bible truly says. They've gone through Sunday school. They've heard the stories. They go through the master clubs. They may be in the Christian school. And the reality is they hear it, but now they're beginning to question that they might understand it because they need to work through it, that they develop their own convictions. So we have Sunday school designed to help them teach them the what's and the whys. We have our Wednesday night youth group, which encompasses the whole of our program. It's designed on that one night to be able to help our youth have a time of fellowship through games and activities. It's a time for them still to enjoy their youth and have much fun. Yet it also combines an opportunity for them to have a service dedicated to the practical preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Each week they gather together and the Word of God is open. It is taught. It is instructed to them. And the Wednesday night youth ministry really is the central hub, so to speak, of that program. It's the opportunity for the youth pastor, for Pastor Silver, to work with those youth and communicate with them and develop them. And again, we want it to be where they can have the practical preaching of truth in their lives. There's a third prong to the whole approach, and that is simply our monthly activities. Our monthly activities are designed to provide good, clean, wholesome fun, a place that they can enjoy and develop friendships that can be built and lasting. Folks, one of the most crucial things in the life of our youth are their friends. They are. Peers have a great influence over the lives of their other peers. It really doesn't matter what the pastor gets up and says sometimes. Peers seem to have greater pressure on them than anything else. So it is vitally important that they have the right friends, because that's who they're going to listen to first. And so part of what we want to do is provide an atmosphere that they can have good and godly friends and good, clean fun and build relationships that will last, Lord willing, for a long time. We have opportunities on Friday nights. We have opportunities like tonight to go to a drop-in. The drop-ins are also designed in such a way so that you can interact with them. Folks, I'm convinced one of the things that is needful within the church is the cross-generational communication and fellowship. The youth, folks, are not the strange ones in the church. Okay? They're not. And young people, the old fuddy-duddies aren't the strange ones either. Well, Lowell said that's right, but he's not telling you the truth, okay? If you don't believe that, just come to the drop-in tonight. You'll find out. Folks, there's nothing wrong with us getting to know all of one another. And the older generation is to have an influence on the younger, and the younger is supposed to be learning from the older. But know what happens within most churches? Children's ministry, youth ministry, adult ministry, and they never mix. You know why we have drop-ins? It's not so they can come and destroy your home. It's so that you can spend time with them and see what they're like. And we ought to enjoy that time together. Other ministry, our academy. Our academy, we are blessed to have a Christian school that offers the families wholesome Christian environment that will provide a quality education. Folks, I want you to know our academy here is unique in our province. And as such, it is open to all Christian families who are willing to submit themselves to our standards and to our doctrines. There is no other place like First Baptist Academy where children can go and be given a Christian-based education. There is homeschooling, but there is no other true Christian school for people to go. And most people who come from outside of our church come with a desire for that Christian education. We share very clearly what we believe and why we believe it. And most families are saying, I am very willing for that. I just want them in that good environment because I don't want them in the public school. We have a wonderful opportunity here. And in our academy, we want to hold high spiritual and high academic standards. In the academy, I am convinced that lives are developed by people, not by paper. So we have made an adjustment since I've come to our academy. It is teacher-based. It is not curriculum-based. It used to be within our academy that we were involved in the ACE program where kids did mainly self-study with the help of teachers who would tutor them through certain things and certain subjects would be taught. Folks, we've made a complete change. And some may wonder, why do we have so many staff? Our school isn't a whole lot bigger. Because the focus is on people impacting people. I don't want them just sitting at a desk and staring at a piece of paper. I want teachers teaching and interacting and developing their character. I want to be able to have people that can set the example and share with them Jesus Christ. Lives are developed through other lives. People are reached by people. And that is a focus within our academy. And if you don't understand that's what we're doing, I want you to get that and hold on to that. Because some have come to me and said, do we really need all that we have? Aren't we overstaffed? Honestly, no. At times we feel rather understaffed. But we have who we have. And what we can afford, and we're asking them to do much, and we're thankful for what they'll do. Folks, we have an academy designed to provide a place that kids can be given a high-quality education in a good spiritual environment. We also have other ministries within our church. We won't give each of these their own time, but let me just mention them to you. We have ladies' ministries. We have Bible studies for ladies. There's the retreat coming up. And ladies, you benefit from that. It's designed to be a help to you, meeting your needs and ministering to you at your levels and the things that you are going through. And they are different from what men go through. And so we want to have a place that you can be ministered to, that you can enjoy that fellowship. You can have conversations about whatever you want to have them about. And I don't know what you do at retreats and don't want to know what you do at retreats. And by the way, you'd probably be appalled with guys that it retreats. But the reality is this. It's an opportunity for you to minister and be ministered unto. You ought to be involved. We have men's ministries. Whoops, sorry. That's next week. We have men's ministries. We have ministries that are designed like our men's breakfast to give us opportunities for fellowship. There are some of our retired men, I'm told, are getting together now on a monthly or biweekly basis. I'm not sure of the exact amount of that time, but they get together and they're having coffee and fellowship one with another. Those are wonderful chances for them. Wonderful opportunities and wonderful fellowship. We have a music ministry designed to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, to stir people's hearts in the right way so they might be prepared for the preaching of God's word. And the central focus of it all is Christ. That He be seen, that He be magnified. That's our goal. Those are our desires. Folks, we have all of these ministries, and there might be more in days to come. But each one has a plan. Each one has a purpose. There's a reason behind them. And you say, but I'm not involved in them. But you still need to give your support. You need to pray for those ministries. You need to be involved where you can. And take every opportunity to see the Lord work through each of these ministries. Next week, I want to share with you our ministry priorities. We've talked about our actual ministries. I want to share with you four basic priorities that must exist in each of these ministries for the glory of God. But it's already 7:30, and I can't finish that in 15 minutes because it's about 45 minutes more worth of stuff, and our kids have a drop-in tonight, so I'm not going to hold them up. So let's go ahead. We'll close our time in a word of prayer, and then we'll pick up these things next week. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can come and gather together and begin to consider our ministries and what we do and why we do them. And Lord, this is essential to us understanding and keeping the church in focus. Because, Lord, we want to understand what you want us to do in these days and how we're going to do it. So, Father, we come and we commit this time now unto you. We thank you for this time that we've had. We ask and pray that you would help us to consider them according to the truths of the Word of God. And Father, we'll thank you for it. Lord, now we ask and pray that you'd bless as we close our service and we go our ways for the first part of this week. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.